From the wheat fields of the Thumb to the cherry trees on the Third Coast, Michigan grows more than 300 different foods and products that we all enjoy every day. We're on a mission to find every local restaurant, manufacturer, and food company sourcing their ingredients right here in the Mitten. And in the process, bridge the gap between the farm and your fork. We want to introduce you to all things Michigan agriculture and food. This is Michigan AF. When you think about livestock in Michigan, you might only think about cows and pigs, but Michigan is also home to about 55,000 sheep. Those sheep produce approximately 325,000 pounds of wool every year. But what happens to all of that wool? Well, today we're going to find out. I am joined by April Zeilinger, the Chief Operations Officer at Zeilinger Wool Company in Frankenmuth. Welcome to the Michigan AF podcast, April.
Thank you, Noelle. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So to start, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into the wool industry?
Sure. So I am not from Frankenmuth. I am from Reese, which is just a rural community, probably about 10 miles north of Frankenmuth. And I worked in credit unions for probably 20 years around that time. And about 5 years ago, my husband and I were going to have our fourth child. And at that time, we were wondering how I was going to balance work and home life. My husband was helping run his family business. And I was at a demanding career as a project manager at a credit union. So at that time, we said, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this all? And, you know, at that point, the business, my husband's family business, had over a 10-year-old website, and they had no social media presence. So at that time, he's like, you know, maybe we should just have you stay at home, and you can help with the website and the social media. And I was like, I think that's a pretty good idea. So once we kind of had that plan in place, and after I had had our son, I stayed home for the year following. I started doing small little posts and stuff like that. And then at that point, we kind of like made a decision that I was going to come and join him at his 100-year-old family business. And at that point, I really didn't have I didn't really know what they did. Like, I knew they made products out of wool, but didn't know what that entailed. I only saw the retail side of it. So that's kind of what I was posting on social media, and just didn't really have a good concept or grasp of what was going on. So then, we decided to put our little Lincoln in daycare, and I was going to come and work with him full time. It was a very big change for me from going from a, I wouldn't say it was corporate America, but it definitely was a very scheduled business environment to being self-employed pretty much. So that was a very big change for me. And they had to soften me up a little bit. So once I moved to that environment, it was something that, you know, my mother-in-law had said when I started working, I really don't have that much for you to do here. You know, like, we'll just start with some small things, and I can't really pay you that much, but and I was like, it's okay. I'm just thankful to have the, you know, relaxed schedule so I can pick up the kids and, you know, be with the family more. And once I got here, I realized that there was a lot of work to be done. And it was mainly just bringing us up to the day that we were living in. 10-year-old website in technology terms is like forever, right? I mean, that's pretty old. And then not having a social media presence, even though I had done some posting, that was something that we really needed to get into. So I ended up getting myself a pretty full workload.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So you came on board, like you said, about 5 years ago and really invested a lot of your time in kind of making the company really 21st century, because as you said, it's a 100-year-old company. So can you tell us a little bit more about Zeilinger Wool and how the company got started?
Sure. So my husband's fourth generation. I married into wool. And his family started producing socks for the military. So they were spinning yarn and making socks. That was their first contract. And once they had that, they stayed in the wool business. And then they started making things like bedding, continued to make yarn, continued to make socks and things like that. And then through the generations, they kind of just carried on that tradition. And then my in-laws decided to do some different things. Spinning, which you would think of when you're at a museum, you like see the spinning wheel and you're like, people did that way back in the day. Well, they still do that today. So in their time, when they ran the mill, my in-laws, they did a lot of making the wool into roving for spinning. So that was like the hot market back in the 90s. So they really marketed that really well. And then in the 2000s, they actually got yarn equipment to continue spinning yarn, because, you know, that kind of changed through time. So then they had the yarn mill there, but they continued doing bedding. We still do it today, and we spin a lot of yarn and still make roving for spinning.
Wow. So how many employees does the company have?
We have 15, including my husband and I, and my mother-in-law still works.
Wow. So that's a good size company, and especially after 100 years. Do you still do items for the military?
We do not.
Okay.
We do not.
Okay.
Yep. I'm not certain who has that contract within the industry, but I know the American sheep industry works with the military, and I know that's, we talk about that often at the national level. So I know I've heard that in some meetings, but I'm just not certain who holds that contract now.
Okay. That's still just so interesting that they started making socks for the military. So you can you talk us through, you said, you know, that it's the mill and then that they're spinning into yarn. So can you just tell us what that process is of from what happens once wool arrives at your mill, you know, what happens from there?
Sure. So typically what happens with us is the customer can do several things. So once they have their shearing day on the farm, so they hire a shearer, the shearer comes, shears the sheep, they collect the wool, they bag it up. Now, completely raw off the animal, they bag that wool up. They can ship it to us, so we can receive it, UPS, FedEx, however they want to ship it. Or we do go to other states in the U.S., mainly on the East Coast, and we do wool pickups. So this month, my husband and I will be in New York State and North Carolina. We take a trailer. They bring the raw wool to us. We give them a receipt that they've submitted the wool, and then we bring it back here to Michigan. We process it. So we'll wash the fiber. And then we'll pick it and cart it. And that process is just running it through machinery with rollers and needles and getting it nice and clean, like getting the hay and everything out of it, or any other environmental things that the sheep has lived in. And so we pick it and cart it, and then we can make it into finished products such as bedding products, pillows, mattress pads, comforters. Like I said before, we spin a lot of yarn. We can spin sock yarn, glove yarn, and weaving yarn for blankets. So then whatever the customer has decided is their plan for their retail, that's what we make with them. And so typically a customer will know their market and know where they're going to sell this at, and then just say, hey, make me this. If they don't know, they're new, or they haven't ever processed their wool before, they've always had sheep, we're doing like an intake, almost like we are here doing Zoom. We do Zoom meetings. We talk to them over the phone. We're almost kind of like counseling them on producing the best product for what their goals are, just so they have success. Once we produce it for them, they have a market to sell it in.
That's really interesting. So you've mentioned, you know, that you work with farmers a lot, and I know you're not a farmer yourself. Can you just tell us about some of the ways that you've built relationships with Michigan sheep farmers?
Sure. So I love farm visits. I like to be on the farm. I said I grew up in Reese, and it's mainly crop farming there. I mean, there are some animal farms, but I didn't have exposure to that. I only had exposure to crop farming. So for me to go and visit the farm, it's always fun for me. I've been to several different shearing days on Michigan farms. And then I've also had my hands in some fresh sheared wool and helped them skirt fleeces, which is just kind of going through it and picking out the imperfections to get it ready for processing. So I've done that with some farms too. And then also I'm new to the Michigan Sheep Producers Association. I'm on the board there. Our family has always been a part of that organization. We've always been members, but I decided to run so that I knew a little bit, a little slice of maybe what their life is like, to make that connection. I think it's important in your business to know your customer. And what better way to know your customer if you're sitting amongst them, listening to, you know, everything and the dialogue of what's going on in the farm.
Of course. Your products are 98% American made. And how is that a challenge in the retail market?
So for us, it's not so much a challenge because we produce a lot of that. So we're sourcing the fiber or the wool, and then we're processing the product. So in my shop online and in my retail location, I carry 98% American made products, and we typically make them, or our customer makes them and we resell them. But I think for me, it's the communication to the everyday consumer that the higher price point is supporting American made. I had went out to this very like big hunting show, actually two of them, and I tried to sell our wool socks there. And, you know, you're telling them that it's American made, but with the higher price point, that can be a tough sell. So that communication of American made, long lasting, wool isn't itchy. Those are my challenges as far as communication goes, and trying to get people to understand that, you know, it may be a higher price, but you're supporting the American worker. And I think that's my biggest challenge in the retail market.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, we talk a lot about wanting to encourage consumers to buy Michigan grown and Michigan raised products here at with Michigan Grown, Michigan Great. And I think that that's so important at a retail level too, not just when it comes to the food you're consuming, but the products that you're buying as well, that, you know, we're working really hard to support Michigan and U.S. farmers in general.
Yes, and I do, you know, there are those people that certainly will appreciate that. They buy it, they have no problem. But I would say for the everyday consumer, That is a very big challenge. And, you know, we do. We all want to say we want to support American made, but do we want to pay the price to support American made? I mean, that's kind of where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really, I mean, that becomes a thing when you're working with small businesses and working with, you know, crafters and you know, makers and things like that, is that when people are making things by hand or when they're putting that work into it, you know, sometimes that means it can cost a little bit more. But I also think that stressing that it's a quality product is important as well.
Yeah, and we're able to have that traceability within our products. So that's another really great selling point that, you know, usually when someone's like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is so much. And it's like, but I know where it came from. I walked on that farm to buy that wool and we produce the product. So.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk yarn. So my mom is, I like to call her a knitting ninja. And she has been making things for years out of yarn. Every year for Christmas, every single person in the family gets a handmade item from her. She's just incredibly talented. But I also know that knitting has become pretty trendy among, you know, millennials and, you know, people in that age range over the past few years. How has this trend really impacted your business?
First of all, love your mom. Tell her to call me.
I will.
Because, yes, those are the people that I love. I'm a knitter as well, and I didn't learn to knit until about 2 years ago when I was traveling to New York to do a wool pickup, and I had a friend with me, and she was like, you know, you have all this yarn you're selling. You should really learn how to knit. And I'm like, really? You think so? You think I'd be good at it? Yeah, it's super simple. So I learned to knit. And as soon as I learned to knit, that's when I loved to knit. And I'm super glad I did, because that's exactly, she had the right idea that I needed to learn what I was selling so I could talk about it. And now I can't stop talking about it. So it just creates this passion, which is really great. And I'm happy to communicate that. But yes, the millennials love to knit, and knitting took, it was like super popular during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now that we're in this COVID world of, I can't seem to get this product because it's not here and it has to come from overseas and there's all this delay. Now there is this need within our market for American made yarn. So I can speak for us in saying that we've had a lot of people reach out to us wanting to buy yarn. So our sales went up in yarn because it's so popular. And then also people are reaching out to us to spin for them, which is great. And so we've saw a lot of growth in that. And we actually have room to grow in it. And we're going to be meeting about that soon. We just spun a yarn line for a knitwear designer that lives in Pinconning, Michigan. And you might have seen that on our Facebook and Instagram. So super proud to do that. And we worked with Great Lakes Lamb on that. So we actually got their freshly sheared wool and washed it and spun it into yarn. So yarn has this huge following. The market is unbelievable. And we've been super blessed to be a part of that and the growth that we've seen through the pandemic.
That's really cool.
Yes.
I've tried to learn to knit at least half a dozen times, and I always end up getting frustrated and saying lots of four-letter words under my breath, sometimes out loud. And I have always stopped before I've completed a project. And my husband always keeps telling me that it's the quality of yarn that I'm using. So can you talk about what to look for in quality yarn?
Sure. So when an everyday consumer kind of thinks about wool, their first misconception is that it's itchy, for one. And I did a series on YouTube called Wool Socks Real People. And what we did is I sent out wool socks to like normal everyday people that had never worn wool socks before, or maybe were like well-versed in wool socks. And then I interviewed them. Just, they were friends. They were people that we knew in the community. And we did this really fun YouTube video. And I would say that, you know, most of the people were like, I didn't want to put them on because they were itchy. And so first you got to get past that barrier with wool. And I would say that wool or natural fiber is your best option for knitting, because that's what it's there for. That's what it was intended for, was to make clothing and things. So The natural fiber itself is really great to use. The acrylic stuff, it's kind of like man-made, you know, so it's not so natural. Wool can be, you know, it can cost more. But with the natural fiber, you're not getting the man-made chemicals. You can find wools that are great for next to skin wear. It just depends on the breed of sheep. And so the wool that can be fine, like everyday consumer thinks merino, there's more breeds than just merino that produce a really soft wool. And then the wools that are a little bit more coarse and what you kind of think of as itchy are like really great for making rugs or weaving or doing things like that. So there are over 100 breeds of sheep. And each of those breeds are good for something. So merino's great for next to skin. Cormo sheep wool is great for next to skin. And then you kind of move down. And we know that during our intake process here at the mill. So we feel the fiber, talk to the customer, and then we know we can produce this for you and it's going to be great. So I would suggest knitting with wool.
Noted. And then, I will do that.
Yes. And then maybe you will like that.
Maybe. I should definitely give it a try again. I was working on a scarf during the pandemic that I'm not even sure what happened to it. It's around here somewhere, though. It's not very long.
Yeah, it does take patience and stuff, too. And I think having someone there to help you is helpful because I took my class in person. So then that was helpful to try to get how to, you know, you don't think about it, but your hands have to be, you know, not so much tension and things like that. So,
yeah, I'll have to go back to my mom and get her to show me and have her help me a little bit more probably with that.
Yeah.
But so speaking of that, I saw a section on your website called Foodie Yarn. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. So I had this idea. My husband will tell you I'm a total ideas person. I think of like 50 million ideas a week. I'm always like, what about this or what about this? Can we do this? And I might drive him just a little bit crazy. But I had this idea of creating yarn that was dyed like the food that it represents. And I had kind of seen some people in the industry do that. But we were looking to maybe have like a yarn line for Zeilinger wool that could produce some income besides processing. And so when I was researching, I saw, okay, there's a lot of people that dye yarn. There's a lot of people that have yarn. There's a lot of yarn. And how can I stand out in that market? So for me, the idea of foodie yarn came from like not only dyeing the yarn like food, but then putting it in a container almost like it was food. So the first run that we did was the ice cream yarn. And my daughter and I thought of, she's 8, her name is Ella, and we thought of ice cream flavors that we loved. And there were a lot, so that's why there's so many flavors. But we came up with the flavors, and then I had UP North Yarns. She's in the Upper Peninsula. She dyed some of the yarn for me, and then someone in Florida from Geektastic Fibers is the name of her business. I just said, this is what I wanted to look like. We spun all the yarn for that, sent it to them. They dyed it. I ordered containers and made it look like ice cream, and we were off and running.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And have you had a lot of success with that yarn, with that line?
You know, that was my first time ever doing anything like that. And I had a business coach help me through that process. And there were some things that I decided I wanted a little bit of slow growth on that, almost like organic, because I didn't want to like push something and not learn anything from it because I want, you know, you're so rushed that you miss maybe some learning lessons in that. So I did a slow growth on that, but I'm almost sold out. which is great. So it's been a little over a year, and I got a little lax on my social media though, because I'm so busy with Z-Wool. But people come into the store here, and that's probably where I sell it the most. So it's pretty neat to see. And it was a really good lesson. It was a really good business lesson for me and for my husband, for sure.
That's so cool. Well, April, I just want to thank you so much for chatting with us today. And yeah. I was wondering, where can our listeners learn more about Zeilinger Wool Company and order some of your great yarn and products?
Sure. So we have a website. It's www.zwool.com. And then I also have Facebook and Instagram, as well as a YouTube channel under Zeilinger Wool. And so you can check us out there.
Great. Are there knitting tutorials on your on your YouTube channel?
Oh my gosh, I could not lead that for sure. I'm still learning myself. I did finish a project last night though. I go to a group on Thursday nights to knit. And so we met last night and I finished my third cowl because I can't do anything too difficult.
Well, maybe you could find some knitters, you know, like my mom, to contract that with that could do some videos for you for your channel.
For sure. For sure. I think at some point we'll get there. For now, I got to work through all this wool. So,
of course. Of course.
Yes.
Well, thank you to April and to Zeilinger Wool Company. And thank you to the more than 2,500 sheep farmers in Michigan who raise sheep both for wool production and meat. The sheep industry is extremely diverse. Like April said, over 100 different breeds of sheep, and it's unique. And I'm so glad that we got to learn about this segment of it today. Again, to order Foodie Yarn or a ton of other great products, visit zwool.com. And you can always find more information about sheep and many other agriculture products grown in the Mitten on our website, michigangrown.org. Join us next time where we'll learn about more products that are Michigan AF.
The Michigan AF Podcast is a project of the Michigan Ag Council and the Michigan Grown, Michigan Great campaign. We are a coalition of farmers and agribusinesses committed to providing the best possible foods and products for our neighbors, communities, and the state we all love. To hear more podcasts and to learn about Michigan's agriculture diverse sector, visit michigangrown.org.